This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, a brand new episode here. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also we have
Rihanna Manuel Pena,
aka Rihanna MP. So, yeah, we're live here, Grand Canyon, Rhi. Can you believe that?
Yeah, we got an incredible opportunity. Thank you to the team at Xbox and Microsoft Flight Simulator. We got to get hands-on with Flight Sim 2024. We got a Hummer tour around the Grand Canyon on the ground, and then we actually got to fly a jet, the Vision Jet, from Cirrus Aircraft, and I took off. Danny flew around in the air. We went over the Grand Canyon, and we got to see the exact same point of view from the sky. And we've seen the same thing in the sim now, and it's been an incredible couple of days. We've also got a lot of time to talk to some of the developers of Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, and they have so much in store with this new iteration.
Now, before we go to the hands-on of the game, how was your experience taking off a plane for the first time? Because I know before that we were actually playing the game, playing the Flight Simulator 2024. You were using not the controller, were you? Or you were using the actual?
I was using the actual yoke and the rudders and the throttle. So I was doing my best to get like myself into the mindset and learn the controls, learn the gauges that I need to be monitoring so that I would be prepared if we got chosen to go and fly the jet. And it just so happens that training came in handy.
Yeah, so all three of us got an opportunity. Now, trying out the game and then trying this out for the first time, did it help?
Absolutely. You know, I was talking to one of the gentlemen from Cirrus after we got back to the ground, and he said, does this make you curious about becoming a pilot or to learn more about flying? And absolutely. I know that the Vision Jet is a little bit out of our price range for the moment, but I definitely want to look into learning more about aviation and getting into Flight Simulator even more than I've already been, because it was such a unique experience. And what's really beautiful about this newest game is there's so much more they've put into it that reflects real life. And also they've created really great opportunities for you to go into a career mode to learn step by step how to fly a plane. And then you learn all of the different aircraft that you might be interested in. You get better and better. You can go for your test pilot certification. They also have different takeoff and landing challenges, which we've seen before, but now they've amped it up with additional gameplay types where you can do banner flying, where you fly a banner across a seascape or a cityscape, or you could do search and rescue. They have VIP taxiing, they have seaplanes. So there's so much more to it. And I would say that, like, it's more gamified than 2020, where you had obviously an incredible simulator. But if you weren't interested in flight or even travel, maybe there weren't a lot of obvious reasons for you to get into it. Now, there's so many fun challenges. It's really approachable. They break it down for you, and it makes it feel like something anybody could get into.
Yeah, I also got to give them props, because the first thing you do when you play career mode, you create your own character. And I was there, you know, just seeing different, you went deeper. You were like,
oh, yeah, we can show some B-roll of my character creation.
Yeah, but for me, I was just checking out different type of characters, and you could create your own and stuff. And the level of like skin color, hair, different hairstyles, even
the outfits.
The outfits, even like let's say you pick a location in your career. Like for me, I picked the Dominican Republic, and I was just curious to see if there's any like Spanish or anything like that. So I didn't get to see that. It was more of they will say the Spanish of the location of the airport, the location that I have, like I gave like a tour to a couple people that wanted the plane. And actually, I wasn't flying that great. So they were even complaining like, this plane a little bit bumpy. Like it's a little bit too bumpy. Can you slow down? Because I was going way too fast. But I just love that the game is so detailed. Like the amount of changes that they have this compared to 2020. My God, I was impressed with like the weather, the actual physics of like land, animals. This even
like, they've added like genuinely migration patterns and density populations for different types of wildlife depending on the biome you're in. So you could use Flight Simulator to track real life animal activity and go down into photo mode and find them and photograph them. And like you're saying, like the terrain, like they've really increased the fidelity of like the rocks, the grass. So if you land in a rocky area, your plane's going to jiggle a lot more. You're not going to be able to take off in tall grass anymore because it's really going to affect the physics of your plane. Like they've really stepped up the physics and the visual fidelity, but also how that impacts your gameplay.
Yeah. And also I was checking out also like the different weathers. Like I know one of the things that they were showing, like the weather changes when you go to a snow area, you're going to get to see puddles at the airport. If that's like a lot of rain, like the detail is so impressive. So, but I know people are probably going to be asking, oh my God, the file size is going to be big. And actually all that is through the cloud, which is very impressive because the previous game, man, I had to download these big, big file size. Like I had over, I think even more than Call of Duty, it was like 140 something gigs of just content. And there was stuff that I still haven't downloaded because it was the file size was just too big. With this one, it's going to be way more smaller, but anywhere that you go around the world, you will pick it up through the cloud, and also real time weather, everything just real, the clouds, the environment of, like you say, the animals. Like I went to the Dominican Republic, I got to see palm trees, you know, the coconuts and all that stuff. Like it was,
you can see whales. Yeah, go whale watching.
Not only that, but you also get to see boats. So like depending again the location, because they also have, they'll get data of, I think it's like what, every 30 seconds I think it is, of not only weather but also boats, if there's like a lot of activities around that area of that. So I was like very, very impressed. Like I left wanting to play this even more. Like I got to see the trailer. I was like, oh, cool. You know, Flight Sim. But now actually seeing the presentation and seeing the changes and getting hands on. Oh, I'm definitely going to do a flight from, let's say, Los Angeles all the way to the Caribbean, you know, go like Puerto Rico or Cuba. I'm just excited to play this even more than before. And I'm also curious to see how this is going to be, how is it going to look also like through consoles compared to like...
Oh, and your widescreen on your PC.
Oh my God. Widescreen, ultra widescreen.
Something that I'm really impressed with, and we can get to gameplay after this, is the sheer amount of information and data that they've collected. And we're talking, they found every single oil rig in the world and mapped it. And a lot of times that information isn't available. Like every helipad that you could possibly land a helicopter on is in this game. And they had to literally just call around the globe to find a lot of this information. And, you know, my mind immediately is like abuzz with all of these questions about how could this help the world? And I know that the team at Flight Simulator is also thinking the same thing, because there's just so much information that has never been gathered in one place before. And they're really creating a facsimile of the Earth and all of the flight patterns and all of the wildlife, all of the weather patterns, you know, all of the aviation that's happening. And like, how could that possibly help us in the future? Like, there's just really so many possibilities. So it's just really exciting to see all of this coming from a quote unquote video game. And it has the potential to change the world for the better. It's really, really beautiful.
Yeah. And the thing that I also like about this, that it was because of community feedback. It was the fans that actually was sending feedback to the team, and things just got better and better throughout the couple of years now while they were working on this project, man. So, like, man, that was really cool that they were getting a lot of feedback from the hardcore fans that played this, like, nonstop, you know. Because one of the things I was going to ask you, Reed, too, like, you know, I know we did that flight and everything. Avionics, right? So, like, the display, when you go inside the cockpit, you get to see, like, you know, buttons and all that stuff. Now, I don't know how much you tried to play that in the game and compare that to, like, the real life. Like, how much it helped you while you were flying the plane for the first time for you?
It helped me incredibly. Sorry, I'm stuttering because I saw the nod. We have to go, so I'm just trying to wrap. But let me take that again. After this, we have to go.
Okay.
It helped me a lot. I was even saying, as I said before, that preparing and the career mode and going through the step-by-step tutorials really got me into a place where I felt comfortable going into the Vision Jet and trying it in real life. And the one-to-one it's just so impressive how much attention to detail they've implemented and how much love that they've clearly poured into this and how much passion they've clearly poured into this, because it really does feel like you're in the plane in a cockpit when you're in flight simulator. And when I was in the Vision Jet, I was like, oh, I've seen this before. I know what this does. I know how I'm supposed to line this up on the horizon. And yeah, I was really confident, and it wouldn't have been the same if not for flight sim.
Well, this is going to be a long episode, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to go straight to the interviews, and we'll be right back after this. So we're back here, another interview now. But let's, first of all, please present yourself and tell us what do you do?
My name is Jörg Neumann, and I'm the head of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Awesome. And I know you've done some work with Paris. I'm watching you, Paris.
Yeah, I'm watching you, too.
It's all good. Now, honestly, I'm very impressed with this project. Very impressed. Yeah, I love the first game. What, I know you're going to call it a game.
Nah,
call it a
sim. Sim, man.
A sim. I see both. I see. No, but honestly, like the first one, I did a long flight for 6 hours from Los Angeles all the way to Dominican Republic, Punta Cana. Wow. That was like before I proposed to her over there. Yeah, that's why I mentioned that. But that was the coolest experience of my life, because a lot of the people that were watching the stream, they were telling me, hey, Daniel, it's a storm coming up. Be careful. It's going to be kind of bumpy and all that. So that was really cool. Now, I'm very excited to do that again with this game, because now there's so many changes. So please tell us a little bit about the changes we're going to get to see in this one.
Boy, oh boy, where do I get started? So, okay. Let's go with weather.
Weather-wise.
Weather-wise, we added cloud types. There was a lot of, you know, we had clouds is heavily dependent on lighting. So we switched over to a photometric lighting system, which basically means the lux levels are accurate wherever. And what you get out of that is that the bottom of the clouds actually look thicker now. They look darker. In flights in 2020, they kind of didn't. They look very puffy and happy. But, you know, some clouds are angry and they're full of water, and that's why it downpours. And so that is all better now. We have cirrus clouds, which are much higher, which is critical. There's lots of cirrus clouds in the world. So, and beyond that, I think the weather is mostly as good as it was.
Okay.
As great as it was.
See, well, I did an experiment. There was a hurricane, Category 5, going to, I think, somewhere in South Florida. Took my plane, flew through the hurricane, went to the eye. It was very impressive seeing that and experiencing that. Did a clip. It went everywhere because people were talking about it. Like, oh, my God, look, there's even hurricanes in the game. So,
oh, yeah.
Is there any type of, like, different experience now with, like, let's say a hurricane or, like, a thunderstorm?
There's tornadoes. So, when we started, we said, oh, yeah, we're going to have predictable tornadoes. We're going to have tornadoes exactly where the tornadoes are. Yeah, okay. Well, it turns out.
A lot of people would love that information.
There is no such information. We're like, oh, yeah, right. No, clearly, nobody has that information. So we basically spawn tornadoes in where it makes somewhat of sense. But is it predictive? No. Otherwise, we would be the best weather people on Earth, and we're clearly not that. We also added some other things, like Aurora Borealis and Australis, which is obviously awesome phenomenon. But I think that's mostly what we did. The experience you had with the hurricane is actually what we had. I remember David and Seb called me one morning. They said, guess where we are? And I'm like, I have no idea. Where are you? And they're like, we're in the middle of the hurricane. We're in the eye. So I'm like, okay. So I actually jumped in there. And it's like, and we were all in the eye watching the hurricane barreling down on wherever it was, Florida or something. But that's still very much there. And I think it's awesome.
So speaking of some of the data that you wish maybe you could put into the game, can you talk to us a little bit about the process of gathering all of the information that is going into Flight Sim 2024 that's going to make this more of like our real life 2.0?
Yeah. So I think the focus for us, we added helicopters and gliders actually late 2022. And that means you can land anywhere. And so the requirements for our planet went way up because all of a sudden, you can not just land at airports, you can land in any old field in the world or in a forest or whatnot. And then on top of that, you can now get out of the plane and walk around. So that required a completely different data set. Like we needed to know what exactly is the grass, the shrubbery, you know, what animals are there, what are the sounds like. So we went way, way deep on the what we call our digital twin. You could call it digital twin 2.0 maybe. And what we did is so we have 2.5 roughly petabytes of satellite data. And we had to analyze that. So we had it, but like, what does that actually mean? So we took 28,000 tiles and marked them up, actually, as humans did. And that means you look very closely on the ground. You say, this is a rock. This is a little piece of water. This is a bush. This is a piece of grass. And then you funnel that to the system. We do that on Azure via machine learning. And then you get a result. And then you mark that up again. And then you funnel it to the system again. And what you end up getting is a very accurate depiction of what is what on Earth. And then we made 27 or so biomes, and we apply those biomes to those places. And that is why every tree now is, it might not be the exact right species of trees because there's 20,000 or so species of trees, but it's a very close approximation of the trees. So the ground looks real now. And in Flight Sim 2020, it really kind of didn't. The height field was right. The other stuff completely wasn't right.
Yeah, I know one of the things that I love to do is check on YouTube people that play Flight Sim, and they also have ATCs, but actually they interact. I think it's like a subscription service, like real people talking to each other.
Yeah.
There's a lot of codes that I have no idea what they're saying. So like for people like me that want to learn about that stuff, because in the game, you will talk kind of, right? Is there anything that I could, like for me to learn the things that they're saying, where to go, what to do?
I think, you know, we did it, 2020, we did the traditional computer game thing, I would say. We did tutorials. We tried to jam as much information into these tutorials as we possibly could. And then we measured the outcomes, actually. We had, when we launched on PC, we had pretty long tutorials, 20, 30 minutes. And then we looked at how much people are actually retaining of this information. It was not good. It was not good. And then came the Xbox version, and we said, you know, this is an opportunity to do this again. And so we broke out these tutorials into smaller bits. And all of a sudden, the retention went way up. People were like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And they could repeat it. And there was a score all of a sudden, so you could measure yourself. But it's still very much tutorials. Now we have this new activity system, which is a totally new dimension of flight simming. And the activity system is contextual, meaning you can't just jump in and firefight. It is not even a thing, right? Because you don't know how the plane works. You don't know how firefighting works. You don't know how really to drop anything. So instead, we are now funneling you through a career that mirrors the real world. You have to get your personal private pilot's license first, and then you need to get specializations, and you need to pass exams. And we're essentially preparing people to be great by doing it. And learning by doing is always better than just, here's your little, you know, 20-page bulleted-pointed list of, you know this and that makes you better. I think this is a much more natural way, and I have high hopes that we will actually help people become better pilots, not just better simmers. Because that's the other thing. Like, nothing to do with your question, but like, there is a lot of interest in flight sim these days because there is a severe pilot shortage on this planet. 800,000 commercial pilots are missing for just passenger and cargo flights. That's just that. And all the manufacturers call us and say, we've got to get help. We will not be able to recruit fast enough. And they look at us as an entry point. We're 15 million users. If we can do a better job actually getting people prepared for the careers in aviation, then this helps, in a way, helps mankind, in a way.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because I know, full disclosure for people listening, I used to work with the Flight Sim team back when I was at Xbox. So I remember we talked about that pilot shortage even 4 years ago. Yeah. And the fact that that's something that's still being worked on today is good and bad. right?
It got worse. It got worse due to the pandemic.
Right, of course.
Because a lot of pilots were grounded. The planes weren't even flying. So yeah. I got lots of pilots calling me like, man, I'm keeping my skills up by just flying
through the sim. Yeah. It's really remarkable that Microsoft Flight Simulator can be that safe space for a lot of people who want to get into aviation, who want to keep their skills sharp, and even people who are curious about training and maybe will have that spark ignited and then go on to become pilots and genuinely hope that that is what happens. But I can't help but try to wrap my head around all of the information you've collected and how that could potentially help make the world a better place too. Is there anything you all talked about on your team with all of the data points that you've actually put together?
For sure. I mean, there's something called Overture, which is an open data initiative that Microsoft is part of. So we use for FlightSim a lot of open street maps, which is it's an open data portal. Basically, people can contribute to it. Like, you could trace the coastline of an island, say Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. You could trace it to the highest content of detail. You could submit it. It's kind of like Wikipedia, and it's super cool. Like, without that, we would not be what we are. And we want to give back. So Microsoft shares all of our satellite information into that system. Same with the height fields that we collect. We give that back. And we took it further this time. We actually went a little crazy. So we basically said, let's figure out where all the heliports are and all the glider airports and all the oil rigs and all this and all that and all the obstacles in the world. And we put teams on that for research. And we have completed we are quite sure we have the most complete databases of any of these things. And are we going to hold on to these somehow selfishly? No, we're going to give those back. We're going to give them to the FAA and they can do it to their heart's content. This is just to accurately depict the planet for everyone.
One thing that we talked about is when you create your own character for the career mode, I was very impressed in that. Like the amount of like skin, hairstyles, it was very, very cool. I think it was even better than a lot of other games that have those type of features where you could create your character. Because they have, sometimes it's like a hit or miss, but this one was very impressive seeing that. So how important was that to make it right?
It was one of the areas I felt most nervous about, honestly, because games are games. You come up with your own fiction and things, you know. Who's going to tell you that something is wrong in your own game? Hard. I mean, it could be buggy and stuff, but like fictionally or factually, what is wrong? This one is real. This is the real world. There's real people, and they're all entitled to their opinions, and they have their truths. And when you say we're going to represent mankind, okay, so how do you do that right? So I ended up talking to the UN. I talked to all kinds of organizations that have insight into these matters. Everybody I could possibly find at Microsoft that I talked to all the regions at Microsoft. And we try to, when you have to redux 8 billion people down to a few hundred, those choices are really hard. And I know it's an imperfect solution, for sure. And I'm quite committed to when we make world updates and we go forward that we're going to add. Because we will have forgotten some stuff. There's no doubt. I really want this to be as inclusive as possible.
So speaking of what you want to add, what are some of the things that you dream about coming to Flight Simulator that just are a little bit out of reach, but maybe someday we'll get there?
Oh gosh, you know, the list is so long. which area even to speak? I mean, for example, like I there was an initiative I wanted to do all the polar bases. I'm very interested in making people curious about the planet. And the faraway places, the not accessible things. I really think there's some great benefits to showing these. So anyways, polar bases. It's kind of a strange thing, right? Polar bases. And so we did all the research, collected all the polar bases, all the pictures and photographs. We actually started modeling it. But we couldn't get it finished. And then on top of it, the data we have for Antarctica, for example, isn't good. And it's not good because it's all camera-based. LiDAR is typically camera-based. And the snow reflection is such that the data is just garbage. And so what we have is not good, still not. But then I read that in 2025, there's a research vessel going with a new type of camera flying over Antarctica. And I'm like immediately wrote an email, said, I need this data. And I'm going to stick it in the flight sim. They said, yeah, sure, why not? So I have every intention to bring Antarctica in all its glory. It's the missing continent in all its glory into flight sim. And then we're going to model penguins and all kinds of cool stuff and make it accessible. How many people can go to Antarctica? I've never been. I've never probably will never go. So, you know, but in Flight Sim, you should.
Yeah, let's talk about also like animals from around the globe.
Yeah.
How was that? Because I know previous, way back, you worked on a project. Was it Planet Zoo?
I worked on Zoo Tycoon.
Zoo Tycoon 1 and 2.
Spent a lot of, I love animals. It's one of those things. If so, I take photos, I oftentimes there's an animal in it, or you know.
So tell me where to go. Where are I gonna find, you know, certain animals that is not in the United States? Like what
they
what
will be where they are. So basically, there is an open database, scientific research database that actually has extinct animals and wild animals. And it's a worldwide thing. It's very much like OpenStreetMap or Wikipedia, and they have distribution maps for all the wild animals, and not just static, also over time. So you can see in January, the wildebeests are here in the north, and then they migrate down until July into the south. And you can sort of see what the population maps look like. We actually use that data. So Flight Sim will have those densities accurately as we can depicted in our digital world. And so, yeah, there's lots of that. And then wildlife, sheep, and those types of things, we actually do completely differently. We analyze the satellites where the fields are, and then we place cows where the fields are, where cows would graze, sheep in Scotland or whatever. Like, so we're trying to do this as much as we can. And there's tons of animals. And there's a thing that Ken Lobb, right?
Yeah.
Ken always talks to me about rarity. I was like, oh, I'm all in on rarity. So we have stuff like the Maltese tiger, of which there's almost none, or the snow leopard or something like this. And it's one of those things. It could be that nobody will ever find it. It's possible.
Well, my last question, I don't know if you have anyone, but my last question is your favorite activity and why?
Oh, man, the favorite activity.
I asked the team the same question, although, so everybody had different answers.
I think now it shifts. That's the thing. I think it's now agricultural aviation. The answer would have been different about 4 weeks ago when it was advertisement. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something super satisfying about flying over places you've never been to, like Thailand. There's a field and you're like, okay, for the people there to eat, I need to spray this field because that helps the plants grow or keeps some bugs away. And I feel like I'm doing something good. I don't know. I mean, probably makes no sense, but it makes me feel like I'm contributing to something.
Awesome. No, but it was an honor, man, talking to you. I can't wait. Can't wait to try this out once the game releases later this year. So congrats.
Great to see you. And I'm glad you had fun. I think this is it's a great product. So hopefully everybody at least try it. Aviation, sky's calling.
Yeah, let's do it. Right. Thanks, man. All right. So we're back here at Gamertag Radio. We have a special guest, and can you introduce yourself and tell us what is it that you do?
My name is Sebastian Bloch. I'm CEO at the Sobo Studio, co-founder also. We are based in France, Bordeaux, and I'm very much looking at physics simulations, rendering technology, all these topics.
Yeah, tell us how was the work like compared to the previous project? Like, how much change we're gonna get to see now with this game now? Physics.
Yeah, things are accelerating, right? We're always trying to build upon what we already have. You've seen it's 42 years now of flight simming, and it's getting better and better, and the team is getting faster and faster. Technologies are also enabling more and more things. And so, yeah, we're seeing a lot of improvements on 2024.
And how has it been adapting what you've already built in Flight Sim 2020 and then updates in 2022 on the same hardware and now asking it to do so much more?
I think we were just not using 100% of the capabilities, right? There's now so many parallel processors and things can do, parallel CPUs, cores. And we have optimized algorithms that we already had. We have moved stuff to the cloud, and we're using better usage of the other cores. For example, the CFD computation, right, which is very expensive, doing all the airflow around the airplane, was done by one core just before, and now it's as many as you have. So if you have 20 cores, it's going to be 20, right? So that's 20 times faster. So it can do a lot more detail, and it doesn't impact whatever performance or frame rate user experience anymore. So
yeah, and also weather change too. Like I noticed that the trees, even certain locations like changes colors depending on the weather. Now, is there let's say it's like a big storm, hurricane? Is that also going to affect not only like the area, like the land, but also I'm talking about like trees and stuff like that too.
Yeah, they will move with the wind depending on the force and direction. Mm-hmm. You will see the grass move. You will see the clouds, the rain. So it's going to feel like a storm, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and you also clouds, how much movement we're going to get to see that compared to the previous one. Because I remember playing in, I think it was like a hurricane in Florida. And I was just curious. I'm like, oh, let me fly in real time just to experience that. And it was chaotic. So I can imagine now with this new change, we're probably going to get to see a lot.
Yeah, so especially in storms, like when the clouds were dense, you know. The highest density we had in 2020 was not that much. You could still see through. They wanted that dark. And so now we have updated this. I showed you a picture right during the presentation. It can get a lot more dense, a lot more thick, thunderstorm clouds. So yeah, storms will be, one level above 2020.
How do you balance the trade-off between wanting to make this as photorealistic as possible, just to give people complete immersion in the sim, but also making it approachable for people who maybe don't have the capability of mastering like huge weather challenges, or who might have maybe vision deficits? Like, is there anything that you do to consider accessibility and approachability when you're going for max technical prowess?
So 2020 already had a lot of accessibility options. I mean, the first thing you saw when you booted up, there was this start button, I think, or continue something. There was accessibility right at the beginning. So we went further in that area, and also the I think make it easy to get in, because I would say it can be scary, you know, to have all these buttons in the cockpit and what does this do. So we've implemented so many different ways to get into this without having to get through all the process of learning. You know, you can even in the most difficult mode, which is free flight, you can spawn anywhere directly in the air. Everything is started, the plane is already flying. All you do is buzz around, so you can have that in that mode. But we also have in 2024 we added this photographer mode, where you're also starting in the air and you're really more focused on, hey, let's take a focus of this photo of this mountain or something. You explore the world and you don't have all the complexity to manage. You can still learn. The career mode lets you really start, get one step at a time into flying with a very easy plane to fly in, like the 172. So that's a way to I would say learn a little bit more, do interesting missions without, and you can choose, right? You can stay always simple, easy planes, do easy stuff. You don't have to go airliner or anything. So it's we just try to add more ways to get into the sim and enjoy it without having to go through the learning at the beginning. And many people I would say will develop an interest and curiosity, and then they will just learn. But when it's fun, you know, I think you learn faster and you just discover and want to know more. But yeah, we've added so many ways to get into this.
Yeah, I know people probably listen to this like, oh my God, this probably is a big file. Yes, I'll use the crowd, but like how much of a file size are we going to get to experience? Like, let's say the game comes out for the first time. I'm downloading it before. It was like 100, over 100 gigs, right? So what is the difference between the old version and now this one with the cloud?
Yeah, so it's getting bigger and bigger, and we wanted to make it smaller. So that's the thing. It's just we were limited right now with the old system because we wanted to add more and more detail and more realism. And at some point, it doesn't fit anymore. And whether it's the drive or just download time, people don't want to spend hours downloading. So we moved everything to the cloud. Now the initial install download is very short, and everything only loads when you see it. So when you come close to an airport, there's you know, many different level of details, and very often you don't see the highest one at all. We only download what you see at the level, at the minimum really you need to be displayed. I don't know if you know, like graphic cards, when there's a texture, like 4K texture, they have what they call mipmaps. So they have a 4K version, they have a 2K version, 1K, you know, and maybe 10 different ones. We will only load 256 if we don't need 4K, because it's way too far away and you don't even see the 4K.
And all that's computed in the back end, like while somebody's running in the sim. That's happening in real time?
It's always streaming in it's parallel. You don't see it. It's happening in the background, and stuff just loads in while you're flying or while you're exploring the world map when it's needed.
That's amazing. So during the presentation today, you showed some of the differences between 2020 textures and 2024, especially in the ground and the terrain, and how a surface that was previously maybe smooth and
easily navigated would be a little bit rougher and might cause some damage to a plane, or might be a little bit more tricky to navigate. What are some other changes in the actual gameplay can people expect from 2020's version to 2024 with this additional textures, with additional technical capabilities that have been added?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the water, for example, is now full 3D. So the waves, you will really feel each wave. And it's very important to pay attention to how high they are, what direction the wind is blowing. And so you in real life, when you land an water plane, I've done it a few times, you never just go in, right? You fly over a few times, you watch for branches, people, mm-hmm. and waves, direction, height, where they are, and you try to land in the right direction. So you need to do that now exactly in the sim, because it affects, like, you're going to be bumped around, or you're not going to be able to take off again if you are not on too high waves or something. And on the ground, well, it's going to affect the way the speed, right? When you do a go-around is basically a touch and go is you land and you take off again. Or if you just take off on a grass strip, the number of bumps is going to affect the speed at which you can go and the max speed. So if it's very bumpy, you may not even be able to go fast enough to even take off, or just the acceleration. It may take so long to accelerate that you run out of field, right? And so that in 2020 was not existing at all. It was just flat and grass, a little bit of bumps. But now it's very different. So obviously airports, which are grass, they flatten it. But if you want to land on a random field or something, you need to check out if it's flat enough. So that affects you have to build a landing strategy, right? One thing we learn when we fly is we do a lot of emergency landings. So one of them is when you lose your engine. Okay, you don't have lots of choice. You pick whatever, right? But a lot of cases is you still have your engine, but you need to land in a field. Because whatever, so maybe you have a fuel leak and you can only do 10 more minutes, or the engine is overheating, you can still fly, but only 10 more minutes. You can't make the next runway. In that case, we still fly over the field one or two times to make sure, okay, now actually land here, or no, maybe let's pick another field. So that you will do now because you will see all these bumps, or maybe it's a plowed field, and it's all, you can't land in there. And so that was not at all something in 2020. That's really the case. I think that's really affecting gameplay in terms of how on the ground. I mean, we did many other changes for gameplay, but specifically on the ground, that's the kind of things you can expect.
Yeah. Today when I was playing, I wanted to test it out. I'm like, all right, let me go to like a random place that is not popular. Sometimes when we get to see like updates, it's always like the big cities.
Oh yeah.
So I went to Dominican Republic, east side of Dominican Republic, just to see how it is. And I was very impressed, like the look, like the houses compared to the previous game too. Yeah. I was very, very impressed on that. So let's say I go to like other countries that you probably haven't updated yet. Are we going to see a lot of difference? Is it going to be similar? And also what type of updates are we going to get to see in the future of like more locations that is not available yet?
So just moving to 24, you get completely new vegetation. Because the trees are 3D, there's many more species, they have seasons. The whole ground vegetation is new. There's cornfields, there's grass, there's bushes, trees. There's even dead wood on the ground. We have rocks, right? We have many different types of rocks. The ground materials, I would say it looks completely, completely different, right? It's the same tree, maybe. I mean, the tree is in the same place. There's the same beach and there's the same forest. But they look completely different, right? It's a complete upgrade of visuals and how they feel when you fly over. That's going to be everywhere, right? Wherever whether there's new data or not, it's always going to be looking completely, completely new generation of visuals.
I think in the first one, if I fly in this, like through the city, I'll see activity, maybe like a little car. Are we going to get to see that too? Let's say I go to New York City. Are we going to see movements or anything? It was just the
yeah. So we redid a new engine for moving cars, but that's been completely rebuilt, and we did an engine also for parked cars. So there's a lot of parked cars.
Oh, there you go. Go Times Square. Times Square, a lot of parking there in New York.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Anything else? Yeah. Now, what was the thing that you've learned about work on this project? Like maybe a place that you never been there before. Was there anything that you learned throughout the process of developing this game? A location?
I mean, it's a project over the 2020 and 2024 I really love because we learn every day. There's always something new. Aviation is all about learning. Like, I think there's a saying which says a pilot always learns. Even when you are like a retired airline pilot, you always learn something new. But it's true in the sim, right? Because we do new type of aircraft, we do balloons, we do new type of activities. And we really do it seriously, right? When we, for example, there's a activity where you have a parachute, right? You have a plane, people come in and you fly up and they jump. And then you go back down and you pick up people. And so we actually work with people who do that as a job. That's their job. They explain it, how it works, what you do, what you're trying. So they basically get paid by the circuit. And so their goal is to go as fast as possible. So they will go up fast, down fast to pick as many people as they can. Whereas other people will have other, you know, goals, right? And he explained us how he can be faster, what he does in terms of where, how he flies and the performance, how he goes down, all these little details we didn't know. And we learned by talking to them, same for firefighting, same for everything.
I'm going to ask this question to the team, but what is your favorite activity in this game for you?
Out of the new activities in the career?
The new activities.
So. I really like the banner advertisement.
Oh, yeah?
And why is that?
I really like it. You have to go pick it up. That's not that easy, right? So you have to be super accurate, come pick it up. And then, okay, flying along the beach and I always watch back. Oh, it's there. And you have to drop it.
Oh, you also have to drop it.
You have to drop it. You have to fly over where the people, so there's people waiting for you and you have to drop it and it falls down and then you can land. And so I think it's very rich. You know, you pick it up, drop it, go to the right place. You have to fly the right way. Otherwise people can't read whatever it says. And the text on the banner, it is local. So it's, for example, if there's a beach and there's a village and it's going to say beach party at name of that village, it's really very local to, you can start the career any way you want. And the missions you get are going to feel like they are here, right? The names of people, the name of whatever's on the banner, the name of the companies or the planes or all the stuff. It feels like, oh, this is here.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, because I used to live in Miami, so I used to see that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very cool, man. No, but thanks for the interview, and I'm very excited about the project. Like, I played, my first flight sim was in 2020. I started in console and then started playing PC.
Mm-hmm.
Very huge difference, but I can't wait to play this one.
Okay, awesome.
It's a really great experience, man.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. First thing first, please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Sure. I'm Chris Burnett. I'm from Working Title. We work on avionics and focused on creating the most realistic pilot experience possible. So we're really aviation subject matter experts. We've got a number of pilots on our team. So that's what we do.
Hi, and I'm Brandon Yeager, founder of Got Friends. We specialize in creating aircraft for flight simulation, and in 2024, we're working on bush planes and gliders specifically. So,
awesome. Well, today, you know, I had a crazy experience, and you were part of it too. We flew a jet, amazing. But I know we learned a lot. Controls. I think they were telling us like waiting, like the location where we're going to start, and everything. So, with that in mind, how detailed are we going to get to see that compared to like in the real life?
Yeah, so actually the experience in the Vision Jet in Microsoft Flight Simulator 24 will be almost exactly like the experience that you saw there. So we've developed the Garmin G3000 suite, which is what's in the Vision Jet. And we've adapted so Cirrus makes a few modifications to the platform. It's called Perspective Plus, and we've got those modifications. We've actually been working with Cirrus to do that. And then the EFB, I don't know if you saw him, at least when we were flying, he took kind of a flight plan out of his phone and connected it with Bluetooth, sent it into the avionics, and then that's the route that we flew. Well, that's exactly what our EFB will do as well. So you can plan the flight outside of the sim, either through a web browser, or you can do it in the sim. And then you can click this kind of sync to avionics button once you're in the plane, and it will pop up, and all the screens in the plane will work exactly the way they do in the real plane.
So we saw the latest and greatest, all of the bells and whistles in our experience in real life. What is the challenge and how do you meet it when you're trying to balance dev time versus keeping up with the most recent upgrades and features that are available? Because obviously, while you're building the thing, so are the people in real life, and you want to try to do your best to keep up, right?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, we lag in that regard, but the G3000's been out for a number of years now. And so we started our work on the G3000 probably 2 years ago and brought the G3000 into the flight simulator. And what's cool is that as the sim gets updated, we're able to add new features to it. So that's kind of one of the things that happens. So I mentioned the Perspective Plus additions on the G3000. Those weren't there when we first released the G3000, but now they are. Another example is in the G1000, which is in the Cirrus SR-22, their propeller plane. That aircraft has the G1000 NXI, and that system has this thing called Pathways. And you guys maybe saw it in the G3000 also, where you kind of fly through the boxes. Well, that's a feature we were just able to add that will be in 2024 that wasn't previously in 2020. So we try to keep up with those kind of features. But a lot of it's just driven by what we see the community wanting, what we see third-party developers wanting, because we make all the avionics available to them to include in their planes. So there's a lot of input, like York said, for the community, with the community. There's tons of input. So we try to take all that input and figure out, okay, what do we do next? Where do we put the dev resources?
Yeah, I was going to ask you how GotFriends got an opportunity to be involved in this project. I know you guys have a very small team, right?
Yeah, very small. So we're just a team of four individuals. Mm-hmm. We all started out as freeware. So this was kind of just our hobby to make add-ons, you know, for flight sim. And really, I think it's just our passion, determination. And I got to give credit to my team. You know, they're fantastic individuals and they've always been just pushing the limits. And we've gone from freeware to dabbling a little bit in payware and got that recognition I think we needed. And Microsoft went ahead and noticed that recognition. They're very in tune with the community. And I mean, that's kind of like a stepping stone for us. And it was huge, to be honest.
How was the you know, first day getting that call or email from Microsoft for you and your team?
Oh, wow. So it was honestly, it was right after Flight Sim Expo in Houston. And one of my friends, he specifically said, "Hey, I put a plug in. I told York to hit you up, you know." And I'm like, "Okay." And so it was 2 a.m, and luckily I was awake. So I don't know what time it was for him, but he sent me a message that I want to talk to you. And of course, right after I got that message, it was and had that kind of video conversation with him as a huge eye opener. You know, it was something that we've been working on for a very long time. We didn't know exactly where we would going from our third party prospect. We were having a great time just doing our own as a third party, but the opportunity to work with Microsoft was huge, and not just for us, but just for the entire community as a whole, because we knew we had so much to give for the community. We were in the community, so we have so much feedback, so much we can offer to them. And they were very receptive of all that. And it's just been so nice to know that, you know, our input really was appreciated. And because of that, I mean, we're getting resources we could never have gotten before, working with manufacturers we could never have worked with before. And so it's a very cohesive unit. It's very nice.
And you say that you're from the community, which is obvious. It's clear that the love and passion that you all share for this. But what was it like starting out? How did your group come together and begin building for flight simulators?
So we all kind of started on our own, which was kind of a fun experience. So I got into flight sim and I felt like something was missing. So I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll try this coding thing out, you know. And none of our team really kind of touched any of this before 2020. We're all fairly new to the game. And so it was kind of like a passion draw between all of us. But I started making a glider. One of my other team members, he was making a bush plane like add-on at the time. Our texture artist was just making liveries for other people's aircraft at the time, and our 3D modeler was dabbling in 3D modeling for his own stuff at the time. And then we all got together. We all figured, hey, you know, we have individual talents. Something was required for each of us. Since I can't really do this, but you can do that, and back and forth. We're like, it's kind of a perfect mix. And so we all got together, made one aircraft together, and the rest is kind of history, you know, just worked out from there.
From both of you, which is the part that your favorite part of working on this project? Any favorite moments, any favorite part of the game that you worked on that you're proud of?
I would say for moment wise, this is a pretty cool moment. being at the Grand Canyon for the global preview events, pretty amazing. I'm very honored to be here and very humble about that. As far as the game wise, oh, the ground level detail. That's for me, that's exactly what I want. We make very intimate aircraft that rely on the ground. You know, bush aircraft, gliders rely a lot on that stuff as well. So really happy to see that. So I'll go ahead and pass it to Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Being here is really, really awesome. Just the experience being with you all, getting to share with all of you this new awesome flight simulator that no one's ever seen before until this week. So that's super cool. I think in terms of us as a team, you know, a huge moment for us was when the G1000, which was the first avionics unit we did formally for Microsoft, when that actually was in a sim update, it was actually in the game and everyone had our thing now. That was huge, because when we were open source before, when we were open source before we started working with Microsoft, we were excited when we, you know, went up in 10,000 download increments. And I think the CJ4, you know, maybe had 100,000 downloads, which felt awesome. But suddenly what we did was on millions of people's computers. And that was just so cool.
For the casual flight sim players like me, sometimes I go inside the cockpit, I feel like it's a lot, it's overwhelming. Any tips that you could give me so I could, you know, learn more about using those features on the plane?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, first of all, in Flight Simulator 2024, they've got the career with a bunch of training. So that's absolutely going to be a huge help for people who are just trying to dabble. And I think that's really going to help continue to grow the audience. I think in terms of specifically the avionics, we do, for some of the products, we've got manuals in there. We're really trying to be better about getting manuals for more of them made available. But a lot of people don't learn best with manuals. They want videos. And there are fortunately tons of people who have made how-tos on the different Garmin products. And this is maybe a little bit of a plug, but they're so realistic that you can actually look at the real Garmin training videos to learn how to use these. And there's tons of those online too. So
what is the process like to choose which vehicles get into the game, or which gliders or bush planes that you're looking to add next? Like, is there anything that you are hoping will get in there in the future, or is it already got all of your top hits?
Well, really, simulator is not complete with all the aircraft, right? So hopefully one day we'll achieve that as flight simulation, right? That's the ultimate dream for any aircraft makers, that we're able to fly pretty much anything we want. But I think that's what's so great about Microsoft Flight Sim in general is, obviously, I'm going to say it again, the community, but the amount of third-party developers that can add content and have their creativity and create an aircraft that nobody's heard about, whether it's something super rare. Like, for example, the Optica we're bringing to 2024, there's only 25 of those, like, ever. And I think only, like, 3 of those fly currently. So it's in a really rare aircraft, and it's really nice to see kind of a legacy live on in a digital footprint, you know, and kind of cement itself in that way.
Now, let's say I want to check out one of your planes that you worked on, right? Is there any Easter eggs of, like, the name of your company or anything there, like, hidden somewhere or outside of the plane?
Well, if anybody knows that our work, we are very, we do some very funny things every now and then. We do some April Fool's jokes. You know, we brought a canoe to the game. We have dogs that can sit in the cockpit with you and fly. So we do kind of the unique fun stuff. We do, you know, we are serious at the same time. We make sure this is a high fidelity aircraft at the end of the day. But yes, you should be able to find some fun little goofy things in all of our aircraft for sure.
Good. My last question, which of the activities is your favorite one and why?
I'll go ahead and start. I think my favorite activity is going to be the search and rescue stuff, mainly because my background in the military, I actually did some of these things. So it's going to be really cool to engage in a similar activity set. Really excited to see that.
Yeah. So in terms of all the detail of the activities, I've only seen them for a little bit. We've all been sort of so focused on our area that this week I'm actually learning things still about some of the stuff that other partners or Asobo have done, which is so cool. But in terms of the activities, I'm definitely looking forward to trying out the career. I like to just kind of go fly in the sim. And I think I'll always still do free flight, I'm really excited to like figure out, okay, how do I, like, what does this career thing look like? What's the experience like? And kind of go through that process. That just, it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Thank you for taking your time for this interview. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys. Great job. Glad you're having a good time.
All right. So first thing first, tell us your name and what is it you do for this project?
I am David Deden. I'm creative director at Asobo Studio and specifically in the flight sim.
Yeah, let's talk about one of my features that I'm very excited to try out is the career and activities in the game. I know previously you guys had a couple of activities, but this one is going to be a lot more. Tell us a little bit about that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. First thing first, what we discovered after the launch of 2020 is that the number one thing all across the board, from hardcore simmers to simmers, gamers to casual, or even to like what we like to call them is digital tourists, were asking to improve the sim, was all across the board the same thing. We wanted more goals, more purpose, you know what? So it was the starting point of it. And the other constraint on the other one is it needs to stay a sim. Because, you know, it's in the title, Light Simulator, you know. So there is no way we can mess with this, you know. So that was the framing, I would say, of the thinking. And then we were like, okay, we want to expand the amount of entry point in the experience. And depending of your mood, depending of who you are, depending of your level of experience, we wanted to multiply the possibility to enter and to enjoy the experience. And so that's the reason why we did those. Yeah, let's pretend that we create a persona which would be a typical gamer, wants something fast, which is short, competitive, with lots of skills involved, leaderboard, etc. Of this, let's say that another type of user just want to chill and to enjoy the planet extra. And let's pretend that maybe more advanced simmers or hardcore will want a much deeper career, extra, extra. The reality is that, yeah, maybe we can simplify a bit the way we perceive the market. But the reality is that while we were discussing this internally with the rest of the team, we soon realized that none of us were able to actually really predict who was going to do what first, which is basically, do you really believe that like digital tourists will not engage with the career to start with? Not sure. Do you really believe that hardcore simmer will not going to enjoy the photographer mode? Not sure at all. Extra, extra. So it was a good starting point, but keeping in mind that actually it would be good for everyone. If I move forward on this thing is, if you really think about it, the challenge mode, for example, the F-18 in the Grand Canyon, what is at stake in order to be good at this? As soon as you get the picture, you know, okay, I have the track in mind. I know what is expected to me for me. It's really flying an F-18, and this the exact same F-18 you would find in free flight. The same complexity internal complexity. It's the same plane. It's just that you will not going to have complex procedures. You will not going to have to manage your navigation. You will not going to have to take off or to land. All of that is out. It's straight. You are fast. You launch into the track. And but still, when you will going to turn, depending of your speed, you can stall like it would happen in real life. You can go so fast that actually your rolling rate is not good enough to be able to turn fast enough to reach the next gate. And step by step, even someone who don't really know what is the aviation world will actually, thanks to those baby steps, become better at understanding how a plane works and how it behaves and what is at stake on a physical standpoint. So maybe you love first the fact that it's a competition, but finally what you will going to do playing those things is actually you will learn how to fly a plane without thinking too much about, oh my God, it's super complicated, you know? Same thing with the photographer mode, because, you know, for some people even moved, because honestly, in the audience we have at the very, let's say, entry level type of audience we have, there is people who don't even play video game in general. So even asking them to look somewhere and use the camera stick to look somewhere it might be an issue at the beginning. And what we love about the discovery of the planet is like, oh my God, I want to see the pyramids. And oh my God, the pyramids are super close to Le Caire, you know, actually in real life. And you have this feeling to discover this by yourself. But then you have to take a picture and suddenly you have to understand where you are in this space, how to move the camera. And step by step again, you start to learn how the potential of the sim and how it works, how to interact with your plane, how to interact with the camera, how to interact with the weather, because the photo, for example, we're going to have the challenge of the photo. We're going to require you to take a picture of, maybe you need snow. Maybe you need the moon. Maybe it needs simply to be at night. So you will start to learn, oh, okay, I can change the time of the day suddenly. And step by step, you learn how to interact with all the tools which are given. And then, obviously, career, when it starts to be things that you cannot imagine or really fully understand by yourself just by playing, it's where the career enter in this game. It's like, but even there, if you are an hardcore simmer, you will going to go to the exams directly and shortcut, I would say, all the trainings. But if you don't know what you're doing, you will not going to have the exams. And by the way, as you pay for the exam, you can basically go bankrupt, you know? So it's a bet. And we love the fact that it's a bet, because the mindset when you pass an exam is completely different. You know, your appetite to be successful and to learn really and to apply what you've just learned is much better because you bet, you know? Okay, I will have my exam. I pay for it. And to be comfortable to pass the exam, it's where all the training we build, 64 trainings, I think, for each of the certification, we'll have training that will really teach you the fundamentals that come with the certification you have. Because there is no way you can ask someone to do a firefighting mission with a huge plane full of water that you are going to have to land in the sea, if you don't even know how to land a simple plane, you know, to start with. So it's the game, basically, you will play the career as you wish, and the career adapts. The level of complexity of the career that really depends on how you want to manage it. And again, if you're an hardcore, you will have lots of exam pretty fast and access to all the spectrum of the potential activities. But if you want to learn everything step by step, it's for you too. What we like is that it flows naturally, because most of those training were actually in Kittyhawk. We have polished them, improved them, and there is a little bit more, but they were existing in Kittyhawk. The issue is like, who starts an experience you know, with 50 whatever training to be ready to play. Doesn't exist. Nobody does that. Here it's really, you build your own path, you know, and you, they are really used as something to build your career, and it flows much more naturally. Plus everything I've said before, where you actually learn things without even doing trainings. You're just having fun, but you learn lots of stuff, even unconsciously. Yeah.
So with all of these different entry points, as you say, into the flight sim experience, what is, in your mind, the end goal? Like, what do you hope every person who touches this comes away with?
I really hope what we aim for, and what I really hope people will enjoy about it, is something that one of the designers at Asobo sent me like 2 weeks ago an email saying, "Oh my God." Even he's working on the carrier itself, and I was like, "It's crazy! I didn't realize myself, even working on it, how fast and how better I will gonna be at being a pilot, at being a simmer, even without realizing it." And it's what I was trying to say when I was saying it flows naturally. Is that step by step, you're like, "Oh my God, but I know exactly what to do to land the plane. And I understand what is at stake. You know, why the procedures are done like this, why it's important to arrive at a given altitude, at a given speed, etc." All those things, suddenly you get why. Or communication with the ATC. "Okay, I got it, actually." And in the carrier, as you have observed probably, you can, you know, there is the auto ATC button. So if you're an hardcore simmer, you can call the ATC panel and actually message the ATC as you wish, like by yourself. But if you don't want to enter into this level of complexity, you basically push a button just to say what probably a pilot would have said at this exact moment if everything goes well. And what I like about it is that step by step, again, you start to understand what is at stake. Okay, I need to stop at the old chart because some planes could land, and it makes sense. And I need the ATC to wait. I mean, I need to wait the ATC to say, "Okay, you can go," before I can enter into the ring. I got it. And I feel like I'm doing something instead of they talk to me about principle I don't even understand, you know? And by the way, if you don't do it, it's not a big deal. It's just that your final evaluation at the end of the activity would not be as good. Even this, you know, it's adaptable. You will just have a bad score and a bad reputation if you do, but it's not a big deal. You will enjoy the activity anyway, you know?
I mean, I messed up a couple of times and I still kept on going. So now, for you and your team, which one was the first activity you guys worked on, and which one was the last one that you guys added in the game?
Actually, we started lots of different types of activity all together with different people in charge of each of those activities. And the goal was to quickly understand what was required on the technological standpoint, on the design standpoint, on the narrative standpoint, in order to evaluate what was basically what we call the bang for the buck. Because we have in the pocket lots of other activities that will going to be probably released post-launch, but either we didn't have time, or we need another technological brick in order to make it work as we wish, or we need a type of plane that we don't have or don't have yet exactly like we need, all those sort of things. So with all the prototype, we have filtered what we cannot do, what we didn't have time to make, and then evaluated also if it was actually fun to play. And also, the reason why we also started with several things is that we wanted the spectrum of the activity to be as large as possible. If you imagine a spider web and everything that can be involved into a mission, we really wanted that those activities really stretch as much as possible the different flavor, you know. To be more precise, concrete, I would say if you are doing crop dusting, it's not at all about navigation. You know, most of the time you would take off from a farmer airfield and the field is like next door, you know. So it's not about navigation. It's about being able to take off a very charged, loaded plane that will, where every turn you there is a risk to stall because it's so heavy loaded, and to be able to come back on the field, fly very low, so it's really skill based. And but what is at stake is also the efficiency, because when you spray a fertilizer on the field, you don't want to spray too early or too late, and the amount of pass you will do, that will going to be required to fulfill the mission, will actually inform your final score, you know? So it's not the smoothness of the flight, which is important. It's not the navigation, which is important. It's not either even the ATC. Those guys are in the middle of nowhere, you know? They don't care about ATC. But on the completely other side of the spectrum, let's say VIP missions, where you basically use a private jet to transport some a VIP person. Yeah, sure. You need to be efficient. You need to be fast. You need to be smooth. And it's a completely different type of approach. And by the way, maybe you will not like it. You will enjoy it. And maybe it will going to be the opposite. Maybe you will be the crop dusting guy, or maybe it will going to be you. It depends. And it also depends on your level, you know, like your level of understanding of the sim. You can be a crop dusting pilot and play during many years a different mission about crop dusting. It will never going to be the same field. And if you multiply this by the fact that you can even change planes, and that the weather will going to be different, and that you can do it like in America or in South America or even in France, I don't know, all of that makes those missions always different. And maybe some people will going to do only this. It's possible. The reality is, it's good to taste the different, but
my last question is, which one is your favorite activity and why?
Maybe you guessed. I mean, I'm I was about to say crop dusting because I think it's a lot, you know, it's you know, I was close to, because of COVID, I had to stop my pilot studies. So I clearly understand the beauty of being an airliner pilot. I understand why it's cool to manage and, but like being the engineer that, you know, somehow an airliner is a sort of a robot which is piloted by an engineer, able to understand and set the robot exactly like it needs to in order to go from a point B to a point B. And it's cool, and I understand this, and there is a beauty which is completely different from the crop dusting experience I was talking about. But me personally, to be sincere, I love the aviation skills which are true to life aviation skills which are required to actually do crop dusting, because what is at stake is really the physics of the plane itself, the interaction basically with the air, and how you can feel that your mass at the beginning of the flight is way bigger than at the end, because step by step you spray on the field and your plane gets lighter and lighter, which allows you to do even more radical turns before you come back to the fields. All of this in a single mission, you can actually feel it, and it's pretty cool. And while I was testing the carrier, I've been trapped many times. Like, yeah, because I thought I was good at it. but suddenly you are in a configuration where you did not realize that there is a tiny cliff a little bit further, and that you're actually arrived in a field that which actually is slightly in a steep, with a different angle, which forced you to dive like this, and suddenly you realize, oh my god, I'm super easy, and there is a cliff, and first pass, boom, you crash on the cliff, and you're like, oh my gosh, I would have probably died in real life because I have not understood correctly the danger. And I think I love the way the fact that we generate so many missions actually expose you to this sort of, you learn each time better of what it is to be a pilot and to be safe while piloting, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or sometimes it will going to be, you know, the wind close to a plateau. There is some updraft that basically makes you fly, you know, that will make your plane take some altitude. All of those phenomena are super lively and depends on your weight, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's super, yeah. But honestly, it's not like it's a 10 out of 10 and I don't like at all the others. It's just, I try to answer.
It's all good. It's all good. No, but thank you so much for taking your time for doing this interview. I can't wait. Can't wait to try the activities. See, you're doing the VIP one.
I like the VIP.
I'm doing the let me land, take some pictures of the animals, and search and rescue. That's for me. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
Search and rescue is another one I like a lot.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right. So we're back here at Gamer Tag Radio, and that was our interview with the team that worked on the project, Flight Simulator 2024. And we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else before we end this episode? I think we jam-packed interviews. This was a lot.
I mean, it's a lot between gameplay and the interviews. We had some really amazing conversations with the devs and just an amazing experience here to go along with it. I'd say thank you once again to Team at Xbox and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. We can't wait for this to get out into the world and hear what other people think of it.
Yeah, I can't wait to just sit back, you know, and just enjoy the show. And just fly around different locations around the world.
I want to do challenges.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try out challenges. You know which challenge I'm very excited to check out? The search and rescue.
Oh, yeah? For me, I think it's the VIP shuttles. I want to see like if there's some exclusive like rooftops in New York City I can helicopter people to or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to try that out. And also because, you know, I used to live in Miami, get that banner. The flag one that you can just show the ads, and it usually it will go to like the beach and fly all the way down. Well, first of all, you pick it up, you fly it all the way down, and then you come back and then you drop it off and then you land. I'm very curious about that, man. So, and also another thing too is the animals. I want to check out like
photo mode,
go to like different locations around the world and
no.
Yeah, try it out.
Yeah.
So, everybody, thank you for watching and also listening to this latest episode of Gamertag Radio. And we'll be back next time, actually tomorrow, because I have more content, and that's all about Dragon Age. So make sure that's going to be a big one.
Going to be a big one.
Until next time, everyone, take care. We're out.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.